to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Chaye Sarah. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells discusses Chaye Sarah. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be looking at a text from Priya Aretz, a work of Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, an early Hasidic master who made Aliyah to Israel with a number of his Hasidim and wrote the work Priya Aretz, literally Fruit of the Land, as a series of teachings and letters back to his home community in Eastern Europe. And so it's a fairly unique early Hasidic work that is actually written just as I'm speaking from here in the land of Israel. He starts with the following verse from our Parsha Chaye Sarah. V'Hashem barechet Avraham b'kol. And God blessed Abraham in everything. Now, as often the case in Jewish texts, though he quotes only the part of the verse from Genesis 24:1, which is the end of the verse, Berach et Avraham b'kol, actually key component of the verse to what he'll be discussing and exploring is the first half of the verse, which says, V'Avraham zaken ba b'yamim. Avraham was old. Ba b'yamim, literally. He had come in his days. He was old, and he had been blessed in everything. Such was Abraham's state, our Parsha says. And then the Vitebsk continues, V'lasbiranyan al derech tzachudent, and to explain the matter clearly, he says, Ki amar razal, as our sages said, ar barzilai giladi, on this person, Barzilai the Giladite, Shaya ben shmonim shana, who was 80 years old, this guy Barzilai the Giladite was 80 years old, and was invited by the king to join his court. And he responds to the king's invitation by saying, Veda ben tov lera imitam avadecha et asher achal. But he says, I'm so old, basically. I'm so sort of worn out. Can I even tell the difference between what is good and bad? Here he seems to me not sort of in a moral sense, but in the sense of you know, can I distinguish between the benefits I might have from coming to court, the fine things I'll have at court, the interesting conversation, all these ways. I can't even tell the difference between things. Will I even be able to taste what I eat? And as there's no point in inviting me to participate in court, in sort of the apex of my society, I'm burnt out. I'm too old. I can't experience what it is to live in the fullness of life anymore. V'amar Razal, and the sages said about this character, Barzilai the Giladite, Shatuf bezima haya v'kavtsa alav zikna. He was awash in lust, right? Sort of poured in lust. And so old age jumped upon him. Maybe he wasn't actually 80, but just felt like he was 80. He's been so full of lust and desire. But this character for the sages is a kind of symbol of the person who is so caught up in getting whatever they want to get from the world that at a certain point they're burned out, they're wasted out. There's no joy or pleasure, there's no appreciation anymore of what the world has to offer. One pictures the sort of aged rock musician who's burnt out, who's done too many drugs, too many everything, and just can't engage in what it means to be fully alive anymore, because they've been so trapped in desire. And then the Magid continues, sorry Larry, start that again. And then Rabbi Menachem Mendel Vitebsk continues, V'hinei be'emet she'al kol ta'avot ha'olam ne'mar shechen derech ish min'af mas bi'o ra'ev. That this is the way of a person who is an adulterer, that his satisfaction makes him hungry. That is someone who is desperately pursuing sexual intercourse, sexuality with other people and the person he's married to, person who's a sex addict in some sense, that which satisfies him only makes him hungrier. That is, there's no sense of satiation, there's no sense of fullness, there's no sense of wholeness from whatever he experiences. His desires, fulfilling desires, never actually make him happy. They never make him fulfilled. Just like Barzilai the Giladite, who, despite the fact that he sort of encountered all these things and pursued all these desires, they never gave him that fullness he was looking for. V'chein amar Razal, and so too the sages said in the Midrash, al kol ha'tavot ein adam meit v'chetzi tavot biyado. That the fact is that nobody dies having accomplished even half of what they desire to accomplish, of having tasted, of having experienced even half of what they desire to experience. That somehow, that which we desire is always out of our reach. V'lechein hem maskinim da'ato shel adam. And that is why they age, they make old the mind of a person, the conscious of a person. That is, This pursuit of the desire, it ages a person. It makes them feel old and worn out. Why? Because his mind is never at rest, but always desiring. That is, while the verse and even sort of Menachem Mendel Vitebsk's interpretation starts with an extreme example, the person is sort of completely lost in desire and lost in it all the time. It turns then to really just our normal experience. That is, when we're desiring things, when we constantly want and want and want, there's no feeling of ease, there's no feeling of peace, there's no feeling of rest, there's no feeling of fulfillment, there's no feeling of enjoyment. If you examine your experience at times when you've been sort of caught up in some kind of wanting, that wanting can be very small. It can be, I really wanted that piece of cake which somebody else might take and you feel the tightness inside, or I wanted this job opportunity or to be in relationship with that person or whatever it was, and it may have worked out, it may not have worked out. But as long as the wanting is so strongly there, we can notice that there's no sense of ease. There's no sense of openness. There's no sense of just relaxing into the fullness of this life. And indeed, we perhaps see it most clearly when we in fact do get what we desire. We get what we desire, and we think that achieving what we desire is going to make us happy. It's going to make us fulfilled. It's going to make us feel easy, done. I've gone over that hurdle. I've finished it. I feel okay now. But actually, we get what we desire, and then all of a sudden, oops, a few minutes later, a few hours later, a few days later, a few weeks later, we're trapped once again in wanting the next thing. That is, the process, the kind of treadmill of wanting never lets us off. And achieving that which we want, sort of fulfilling our desires, just like the adulterer, as it's mentioned in this passage, in fact, never satisfies them, right? Getting what we want doesn't actually give us any long-term satisfaction. Maybe because it's temporary satisfaction. Maybe that's because we're happy about what we got, what we wanted. Although it may also be because there's a moment of freedom from the actual wanting. Maybe it's just the absence of wanting in that moment that gives us some sense of enjoyment, some sense of openness, some sense of really of youth and vitality, which the claim here is that this constant wanting and pursuit takes away from us. And he continues along the same lines, Vakatuv Omer, and the verse says in Proverbs, Tavat Atzel Timitenu, right? The desire of a lazy person kills them. There's something about desire which is actually deadening to us, he claims. V'chen pasuk, and so too in another verse, again from Mishlei, tochelet mumushacha machalalev, sort of extended hope, but really extended kind of hunger here, extended wanting, sickens the heart. There's something about wanting, the continuous, never-ending process of wanting and being caught and lost in our wanting, which stops us from being free. We get trapped in this process of wanting where there's no way out, and where fulfilling our wants and our desires does not ever provide us with the freedom we're really looking for, with the sense of satisfaction, of being really full, of feeling at ease. V'hini al derech se'av sharlim tzob avodat Hashem. He says you can also find the same thing in the work of spiritual practice, in the service of God. Le'ot devar Hashem yakar lim tzob v'yev shal istapek mimenu. So that the word of God is precious to be found, hard to find, and one is never satisfied with it. And everyone who is greater than his fellow is able to achieve something deeper of the hidden heights than his fellow is. And all his understandings are considered as nothing. That is, he always knows that he has not yet reached this final place. Kimamar, as it says in a verse from Job, where can we find wisdom? Where can wisdom be found? Although reading it hyper-literally, the Chassidim classically read this as, wisdom will be found from nothingness. Me'ayin. Kiyu barach ein sof, v'chen kol hasgotav ein sof. Because he, the Blessed One, is infinite. Ein sof, ein is the same word as ayin. He is the infinite nothingness. And call of his apprehension is infinite. That is, here he makes an important distinction in Hasidic thought. Normative desire, that is normal desire, when we get caught up in it, there's nothing wrong with normal desire, and in fact it's a perfectly good part and aspect of life, but when we get lost in the wanting and are always wanting the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, there's no peace, there's no quiet, there's no ability to fully enjoy that which we have. If, as one of my students pointed out to me once, he said, you know, when I really try to observe my desire, I can be eating food, and at the same time as I'm eating the food, I can want to put the next bite in my mouth. And if we observe our experience, it's an extraordinary thing. we're observing, we see that we're eating the thing we want in a certain sense, but we already want to put in our mouth our next piece of whatever that thing is. That is, we're not freed even that moment of having what we want from the desire. Because as long as the desire is present, we are in some ways always unsatisfied. And yet, where is this desire appropriate? Menachem Mendel teaches us. In this desire for the divine, that is, we achieve the divine, we touch the divine, but there's always more to discover. And so perhaps there's some appropriateness to this desire to be in deeper and deeper presence with divinity. And then he continues, Valikara avoda, hu hit kashut elav yiparach, b'chol midah v'midah, u'b'chol ofen amitkaber al adam. But the essence of this avodah, of service, of spiritual practice, is to be connected to the divine with every quality that we have. So every aspect of ourselves, it doesn't matter what quality it is. They could be good qualities. Of course, those are classic ways to connect to the divine. But one of the great innovations of Hasidism is the claim that even in our negative qualities, if we open to them and go deep enough, we'll find in them as well a way to connect to the divine. For instance, in our anger, which itself is not productive, we will find a kind of discerning wisdom which helps us see where something's wrong, where something needs to be fixed, where tikkun is required. And that will help us become closer to divinity. In misguided desire, we can redirect that desire towards the divine and again use it as a way to become closer to divinity. And in any way that the person gets overcome, sharei yitzro shel adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom. For as we know, a person's inclination, his yetzer, his desire, his evil inclination, grows in strength or perhaps overcomes him in a certain way every day, as it says in the Gemara in Sukkah. Vimet mol apilu v'itgaber alav ruach Hashem, nacha alav v'itkasher bo yiparach b'oto midah. And even if yesterday the person was able to knock over and overcome this difficult inclination and had the spirit of the divine rest on him to connect into divinity through that very same quality, af al pichen mitnakesh alav ha-yetzer l'machar ba'ofen acher v'yoter kasher. But the next day, it comes to attack him, to kill him in some even harder way. It's waiting, lying in wait for him. That is, though we may succeed today in not falling prey to our jealousy, our fear, whatever it is, these are continuous challenges for us. Tomorrow, the quality may come back and once again seem to want to knock us down, seem to want to take us over, seem to want to rob us of our divine spirit within. Lapilo bereshito l'olam, to trap it in its net forever. Ela im ken sheitchazek adam kokach, ad sheyetzeh lecherut nishtamesh b'oto midah la'atzmo klal. But the solution, he says, is that if a person has strengthened himself so much that he actually enters a place of liberation or freedom, where he no longer uses this quality for himself, that is, he no longer uses it in a selfish way, whatever the quality is. He uses it in a way which is actually interested in the divine, which is interested in the longer world, which is interested in bringing benefit. And he does not take pleasure in this quality, except in using it for the service of his creator. My heart is pierced, is empty within me. Only when the heart is kind of pierced, is open, is made empty, is no longer filled with all these small desires which are only about our own small ways of getting satisfied. When our heart is more interested in sensing what is greater, sensing the aliveness of our world, sensing the fullness of the divine, sensing our connection with other people, sensing our love, sensing our desire to do good, to heal in the world, then the yetzer of the evil inclination rests from him. It leaves him alone. And this imagery here, I think, of the heart being pierced, of being open, of being hollow, is a very interesting imagery. That is, Rabbi Menachem Mendel seems to be claiming here that the way in which we avoid this trap of sort of just the normal ways that we're trapped in the never-ending cycle of desire and are never satisfied from it. We're just not satisfied. We think we're going to get that next job, the next position, the next accomplishment, the next person, the kid, whatever it is that we think will be the next thing that will make us happy. And none of the things we get ultimately make us happy. None of them are ultimately satisfying. It doesn't mean that we may not love our job, we may not love our partner, we love our kids, that's all great, but they don't solve all our life problems. Because as long as that desire is present that we want and we need something to be more than what it is, then there's an inherent dissatisfaction in our experience. What he says here, if we rather allow this profound openness to happen in our heart, we're not craving for the next thing anymore, we don't need the next thing to occur every minute, then there's actually a peacefulness, there's a sense of rest. You may notice this in your own experience. There are times when we just sort of stop the wanting, stop needing something else to happen, and we're just happy to rest in this moment just as it is. And in that moment, there's that sense of restfulness, of peace, of being at ease. Because as Menachem Mendel Vitebsk continues, Ki b'ma yakadenu, in ein lo shum hana'ah, shaklal, lishtemesh balatzmo. Because how can it trap him? That is, how can he get trapped in desire if he doesn't get any pleasure out of using this quality? Right? He's not interested in sort of the selfish enjoyment of the quality. He's interested in how it will impact the world. The claims are quite difficult in many ways. It's not an easy teaching. It's not a kind of smooth teaching. It's not a teaching where we can sort of easily just touch the spirituality of it. But it's a very important teaching. It's a very important teaching, I think, because it talks about something very mundane and very real in our everyday experience, which is being trapped in the constant wanting. There are extreme examples of this, addiction in all its varieties. But we all experience this in its most just mundane and regular ways, whether it's wanting to be a certain thing, wanting to get certain things, wanting to have certain kind of experiences, wanting to be seen in a certain way, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be liked, wanting to be respected. Doesn't matter what kind of wanting it is, can we notice how the state of wanting itself, the wanting the world to be different than it is actually not peaceful? It doesn't actually provide us with a sense of wholeness and presence. But if we're able to let go of that kind of wanting, of needing the world to be a different way from the perspective of sort of what my ego wants, and instead to adopt an approach of desire, because desire is still there, which is not about just about what's good for me, but it's about what is good for the world. What is good for the divine? What is going to heal the world? One of my teachers said to me once, when I was trying to discern what was best in a situation, and I could feel the desire for all kinds of different things that maybe were not the wisest, she said to me that I should ask myself, what does love want? And really, that in a different way, and perhaps more positive way, is what Rabbi Menachem Mendel Vitebsk is saying. Instead of being caught in what do I want, what happens if we ask the question, what does love want? What does love want? And can we notice that answering that question is not just about a kind of turning away from the self or not being selfish, that's an important piece of it, but that actually we are more fully alive. We are more fully present in joy. We have more actual pleasure, more actual connection with the wonder of this world when we do what love wants than when we do what I want. And he continues later on in this drasha, and he says, V'zeu v'Avraham zaken ba b'yamim, as you recall, this is part of the original verse we cited. This is what it means that Abraham was old now, coming in his days. Perush midot ba'el azikna, which means in terms of these qualities, internal qualities, all the different qualities we have, from love to anger, from desire to acceptance, from jealousy to the joy in the accomplishments of another. Bechushavi says, in his senses, right, to return to this image we used at the beginning of Barzillai the Giladite, who had sort of worn out his senses, mitbatlim, they are annihilated. That is, Avraham was able to kind of wear out the instinctive and non-helpful patterns within himself. He was able to move past them and let them go through a kind of wise aging, rather than this kind of aging that was discussed in the beginning, the aging where the excessive use of our desire has made us feel old and wrung out. Rather, Avraham had the wisdom, in some way, to be able to let go of these qualities that were unhelpful, to let go of the kind of being driven by sensual pleasure in a way that wasn't helpful. V'chen derech Hashem, acharit gabro b'mibotav, lishtamesh l'avodato yibarach, v'lishumana atzmo klal, v'yotze min amidot, v'mibadlin litkasher bo yibarach tamid, v'lishum hefsek rega. And this is the way of the divine. That is, this is sort of the divine path, Abraham's divine path. That is, after he, Abraham, overcame his qualities, his midot, to use them to serve God, to do his spiritual practices, and not for any self-pleasure, self-benefit, he really went out of the very quality, he transcended these aspects of these midot, of these liking and not liking. And he allowed these parts to fall away so that he could be in contact with the divine, constant contact, without any disconnection, even for a moment. This is the next part of the pasuk that we started with. And God blessed Abraham in everything. Because this connection is called everything. That is, letting go of sort of this selfish pursuit of desire and asking himself in many ways the question, what does love want? Does not mean that Abraham was left unhappy, unfulfilled, lacking in things. In fact, just the opposite. When we're not trapped in desire, all of a sudden we are blessed in everything. We can see the extraordinary blessings that we have in this very moment. We can see that we don't have to get the next thing. We don't have to make the next thing happen for things to be okay. But there's some way, even in quite difficult circumstances, that we can find the okayness in this moment. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Vitebsk, when he made Aliyah with his Hasidim, they passed through some very, very difficult circumstances in Israel. It's not an easy place to be. Physically, from the perspective of food, clothing, surviving in the land, it was not an easy place to be. But there was a sense he hadn't taught that there is a way to find some sense of alrightness in really whatever situation we find ourselves. There's a way to notice that we are actually at all moments blessed, like Abraham, in everything. And what stops us from realizing that is this unceasing flow of desire, of wanting the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, which never leaves us really at ease, at peace, to feel the fullness and the wholeness of this moment. Again, this doesn't mean that desire is bad. Desire is a wonderful part of our human life. And as he makes clear, desire, this desire for healing, for divinity, for connection, are positive and beautiful desires that we want to be connected to. But what it does mean is that when there's no space around our desire, when all we do is jump from one desire to the next with the illusion that getting that desire is finally going to make us happy, we are left deeply unsatisfied, worn out, and really old in a certain way, aged, disconnected, no longer tasting the wonder and the beauty of this world. And yet if, paradoxically, we can let go of the need for things to be different, for let go of the need to get the next thing, to achieve the next pleasure, then we're actually blessed in everything. Then we can encounter the wonder, the pleasure, the mystery, the awesomeness of just this very moment, of just the feeling of the wind on our face, of the connection of our hand with our hand, of the connection of ourselves with another person, with all the wonders and mysteries that are available to us in every moment of our life.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisels. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.